Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress. You'll spend 33% of this year on your mattress.
That's almost 3,000 hours.
Start sleeping comfortably on a new Serta mattress.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
With our lowest price guarantee
and our 100-night trial,
your locally owned Two Brothers Mattress is your number one choice in Serta mattresses. Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
Twobrothersmattress.com.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. Nice to have you with me today for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. Happy Easter weekend, by the way. I know you've probably got plans with your family. Mother Nature may be screwing up some of those things over the next few days as we look for a return to rain just in time for Easter. Maybe that Easter egg hunt has to take place indoors instead of outdoors this year, which always has a couple of drawbacks. Like inevitably you find all but one or two of the eggs that you hid, for those of you that still use real eggs to do it. And they usually show up about the time you move the couch or the Lazy Boy to put the Christmas tree up the next year if the dogs don't find it first. Anyway, it's nice to have you here despite what your plans might be. Flying solo today, Russ Smith a little bit under the weather. Navidomskis, I'm playing a little game of where in the world is he? When we checked in with him last week, he was in Kitzbühel, Austria, and let me know that he was jumping on a train headed to France, and that was kind of the last thing I ever heard. But anyway, we will today have some great conversation. Shanna Mehmet is set to join us in the next half hour. She's the Juab County Tourism Director, and we've been talking all week in our newscast about the crowd, the crush that was expected to be down at Little Sahara. I'm curious if the weather may change that a little bit, but what I did not know is that for Juab County, which is a relatively small county, they, during this crazy weekend when everybody heads down there to Little Sahara to play, sort of a rite of passage as we head into spring, they're in charge of all the enforcement and the emergency management systems down there because they're an hour away from, you know, hospital care. So it is a budget buster for the county. As she was telling me a couple of years ago, it cost them $400,000 without reimbursement, by the way, from the Bureau of Land Management. It's a part of the story I wasn't planning on talking about, but we'll talk about some of the fun and some of the safety that has to be shared as we head into this weekend. We'll also do a little road tripping with the boys coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll find out where they want to take us. And Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge, of course, will also join us to wrap up the program this morning. Right now, though, it's our usual contact where we check in with the Division of Wildlife Resources. And I'm really looking forward to the next few minutes having conversation with Melinda Benyon, who is a Southern Region Native Aquatics Biologist, which is quite a title in and of itself. But we're going to talk about the Virgin River program that got started. Gosh, it's been more than 20 years now. And I love what you said here because inevitably, and I'm sure you get this too, Melinda, from time to time when people ask about what you do or inquire about these kinds of programs, I get a little rolling of the eyes sometimes when we start to talk about saving a species like the razorback sucker and people just don't see the need for it. But You have said, and I love this quote, that you have always had a passion for working with non-huggable species. Tell people why this is important.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And to me, like, just to explain non-huggable, you know, there's a lot of species that you talk about, sea turtles or, you know, animals like that. People just, they love them, right? You don't need to convince people to like them.
Yeah.
And so with the non-huggable, you know, there are things that maybe people don't even realize are there and they're part of the ecosystem. But so just being able to help people see kind of the value in these different species that exist and why conserving or protecting them is important to the way we live and the resources we have in the areas and what we depend on. So
yeah, and this Virgin River program, as I mentioned, started all the way back 2002, but it was collaboration between 10 different agencies to help recover 6 fish and 2 bird species. Some of these guys are just tiny, too, and that even makes it more difficult to explain to somebody why that little tiny fish is important to the overall, you know, existence in our ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, really those, all of the local, state, federal, private entities got together and created the program back in 2002. And with the goal to, you know, really protect native species and their habitat, but while also accommodating like recreational and consumptive needs required for this growing area in the Virgin River Basin. So the it's really, the program is kind of the primary function is to really reconcile or avoid conflicts between water development and wildlife, you know, conservation and recovery in this area. So it kind of, the program itself helps simplify kind of the regulatory process for water users, landowners, while ensuring that, you know, future generations can enjoy this area.
I hate to admit this almost, but many of these, if not all of these, I've never heard of. And I would imagine that's the case for many of our listeners.
Yeah, it's really exciting when people tell me they heard about this. And, you know, down here, we started implementing an outreach program for the Virgin River in the schools back in, gosh, it was like 2007. And so back then, teachers, students, they didn't know any of the fish. But it's been, for me, just, I guess, really rewarding when people come up to me and they're like, we'll be out in the river sampling, and kids will come up and say, hey, come here, I saw a desert sucker over here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they know the name of the fish. And they know, you know, like, I don't even care if they ID'd it right. Like, you know, they just know the names of the fish. And it's been, you know, just really exciting to see that change in perception and awareness of what's here just by doing outreach in the schools. You know, we go around to K through 12 schools, and we do private, public, charter. And just being able to do that outreach and kind of just connect kids to the area they live in, and even the teachers, they love it. And, you know, we've really aligned what we talk about to the science core standards. So the teachers love it because we're helping, you know, them teach something hands-on that they need to cover.
Yeah. Well, and at that point, you know, in real time, you're getting to see that your work is effective, which is great. I just want to name a couple of these because obviously people won't be able to identify them. They can look them up if they want to. But for instance, the flannel mouth sucker, you'd think you would know about because it is the largest native fish found in the Virgin River, but I've never heard of it. But it can grow up to 2 feet in length. And then on the same token, there's a little one, the virgin, and how do you say that, spine dace?
Yeah, the spine dace. Mm-hmm, very good.
They said that it acts like a miniature trout and are found in the Virgin River and its tributaries. These things aren't found anywhere else. So if we don't protect them down there, they could be extinct.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, just realizing what is here and kind of, you know, maybe it's the intrinsic value of it. And I always tell people, like, you know, if fish went extinct that are native, some of you went, you just barely found out there were native fish, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, over time, you would see kind of what we biologists call a ripple effect. You know, everyone knows what a ripple is. You stand in water, right? And you see the waves go out from where you stand, right? Or where you throw a rock. And over time, if a fish were to be, you know, even endangered or go extinct, you would see the effect of that eventually. People would see it.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to be in change in water quality or amount of bugs. You know, mosquitoes, ooh, we don't really like those, right?
Yeah. And then we've got other species that shouldn't be in some of these places. So that's where it also gets sticky in the conversation is they people don't quite have an understanding of why you need to remove some fish that aren't supposed to be there to save these other fish that may not be as important to you. And we this bucket biology that goes on sometimes has a chance to really ruin an ecosystem. But give us just a couple of notes. We've only got a minute and a half, 2 minutes here. A couple of the things that this program is trying to do there in the Virgin River area.
Yeah, so a lot of it is just sitting down with partners at the table and coming up with creative solutions to, you know, providing flows in the river while providing flows for, you know, water for people in this area. So that's one of the really, really big things. And just kind of helping facilitate different you know, stream alteration projects in this area so that, you know, infrastructure, roads, bridges, those things are important and they need to continue. And how do we make that easier for, you know, the community to be able to have those projects in places where we do have endangered species?
Yeah. And then you got invasive species like red shiners that I was reading here. From over 65 miles of streams, 30 miles of irrigation canals. That's a big job just to remove them.
Yeah, we did over 50 chemical treatments. And part of that is salvaging native fish and moving them upstream of the area being treated. So it's a huge intensive effort. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I never want to see a red shiner again as long as I live.
I'll bet not. It's one of the reasons why we made a commitment early on when I started doing this program that we check in with the Division of Wildlife Resources, because people only tend to think about the work you do when it's making a headline either in a very positive or very negative way, and they don't understand all of the work that goes on in between, and we love to highlight that. But I just a couple of...
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, a couple
immensely.
Notes here about the other agencies that are helping in this particular program: the Department of Natural Resources, Washington County Water Conservancy District, Fish and Wildlife, obviously the Nature Conservancy, Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Forest Service. It goes on and on and on. Even with the tribal areas down there, which I think is also important.
It definitely is. We really work a lot with the Shiblet Band of Paiutes, and you know, as well as like even National Park Service. Dixie Soil and Water Conservation District is a partner as well, and the Utah Farm Bureau Federation. So we have a lot of partners at the table, and I think that is what has gotten us this far and been helped the program be successful, is that, you know, everybody needs to be at the table and, you know, make decisions and help what's in the best interest of the community.
Yeah. Melinda, thanks for being one of those people that will go and give a hug to a non-huggable species with a face only a mother could love.
Well, thank you. No, I really appreciate you highlighting the program and you know, keeping it in people's minds, you know, what the division does. There's a lot of projects, so thank you.
Melinda Binion, thanks for your time. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check in with the boys, do a little road trip, and Bob and Mark join me next.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.